It's perfect for what God is doing. And when it comes to offering, the Bible, one of the words used to describe offering is homage. If you've never heard that word before, homage is special honor and respect shown publicly. We're in a public place, and we're showing homage to the King by allowing him to do what he wants to do. And there are examples in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, the book of Mark, the book of Luke. Each have different perspectives of the same event, but in a nutshell, there was a woman. And if you've heard of her, she was the woman who had the alabaster box. And she, the Bible says she was a sinner. She had a lot of sins. She did some bad things. But you know what? That wasn't the focus, because she found out that Jesus was going to be at somebody's house. So she took that alabaster box, and it was full of a precious ointment. The Bible says a precious perfume, and it was really, really expensive. She took that perfume, and she stood behind Jesus weeping, broke the box open, and poured it on his feet, and began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe it with her hair. So she was probably pretty close to the ground. And in that posture, where she used that costly perfume to bless Jesus with and to show her honor and respect for him publicly, because he was surrounded, the Bible says, by Pharisees, by disciples, by the publicans. And they were having dinner, but she interrupted. She pushed past fear of what other people thought about her. She pushed past shame because she was a sinner. And they all knew that. They probably seen her doing what she did. But she didn't allow those things to stop her from showing her respect and her honor for the Lord Jesus. And she took this costly perfume. The Bible says that it was worth a year's wages. So it's pretty valuable. And when she broke it over Jesus' feet and began to weep and wash his feet and wipe it with her hair, the disciples now, the religious people, said, "What a waste. Why is she wasting this costly perfume when it could have been sold and helped the poor?" They had other plans for it, but she knew what she wanted to do with that value and that worth. She bestowed it upon Jesus to show publicly her honor, her respect for who he was. Is this is the man that would forgive her of all of her sins, that would wash everything away, wash away her past, wash away everything bad that she'd ever done. And she brought an offering to him of this precious alabaster box full of perfume. And she broke it upon him and gave it as an offering. Jesus said, when his disciples said, "Why is she wasting that perfume? It could have been sold and given to the poor." Jesus said, "Don't bother her. Stop troubling her. She's done a good thing. And wherever this gospel is preached in the entire world, what this woman has done will be told for a memorial of her." When we give an offering of homage to our King and we show our respect and we honor him publicly, the Bible says that in that scripture, God remembers our offering. God sees our offering. He knows the worth that it has to us. He knows the value that it has to us. No one else has to know. Nobody may know. But what we've treasured, and we offer that to God, and we say, "Lord, I respect you. I honor you publicly. I want to show you my homage." And we bring our offering in that manner. Jesus knows it. He sees it, and he remembers it, just like he did for this woman. And I often think about what went through this woman's head before she did what she did. She's probably thinking, "What if he thinks I'm crazy? Or what if they think I'm crazy? This is an entire year's wages. What if I don't have enough?" I know I've thought that before when I've had an offering that I know I wanted to give to Jesus. And the thought in the back of my head was, "What if I don't have enough to make it?" But you know what? She pushed past all of those doubts, all of those worries, all of those fears, the shame, the fear of people looking at her funny, thinking she's crazy, and she gave it anyway, because you know what? To her, he was worth it. She wanted to honor him so much that it didn't matter what it costed, she was going to give it anyway, and she did. I've heard it said before that what the world considers waste, God considers worship. And some people might have looked at the time that we spent here today as a waste of time, but you know what? It's worship to the Lord. It honors Him. It shows Him that we want to bless other people with His heart. We want to love people the way that He's loved us. We want to give back to Him what He's given to us. Freely we've received, amen, and freely we give. And in the same way, we bring our offering to the Lord in homage, in respect, in honor publicly to show the Lord that He's the one that we see as worth it. Amen? Amen. So we're going to continue to play the music. And if you need an envelope to give with, you can raise your hand. Our ushers will provide you with one. Or if you have an electronic device that you want to give on PushPay through our app or also online, you can do that. The information will be up on the screen behind me for you to do so. But we ask that you give your offering with an attitude of respect and honor to the Lord for how good He is and everything that He's done. The fact that you're alive and that you have breath and you have clothes on and you're sheltered and you're surrounded with loving people. If you don't know what He did for you yet and all the blessings that He has in store for you, like I said, stick around because it gets good. It gets better every single day. God is faithful. Amen. I forgot to mention one thing. You know, when the Bible says that when the woman with the alabaster box came, she stood behind Jesus weeping. Her tears and the ointment all over His feet and wiping with her hair. This woman's honor and respect went way beyond giving a physical gift of a tangible value. You know, what we're giving in the offering today might be our tithe, our 10%, might be an offering, a freewill offering above and beyond that. Might be a special giving to the building fund or to evangelism or to alms. But you know what? Our giving doesn't have to be limited to money. Our giving doesn't have to be limited to what's in our bank account. Our giving can be words to people who need to hear the encouragement of the Lord, who need to hear that God loves them. Our giving can be weeping before the Lord just because He's good. And you know, if you end up worshiping the Lord like that woman with the alabaster box, we won't stop you. We want to allow God to reveal Himself to you in a way that you will worship Him freely, voluntarily, with a heart of thankfulness. Amen? So the baskets are up here, and you can feel free to bring your offering to the Lord and present yourself. If you've given electronically, we ask that you still present yourself to the Lord this morning as we give and continue to worship Him. Amen? If you notice that there are guests around you, Arkies, we ask that you make sure to greet them warmly, make them feel welcome. If somebody comes up to you and puts something in your hand, whether it be a handshake or a gift, we ask that you keep that and receive it and know that where our treasure is, there our heart is also. And we want our treasure to be with you. So we pray that you're blessed today.
Hey, we're just going to bless the tithes and the offerings as well as you guys as the givers. So, Lord God, we just thank you right now for the anointing that is on giving to the Lord. Father, you said that if we give, that if we sow, that we would necessarily reap, that every seed has a harvest within it. So, Father, we thank you for not only the gift, but we thank you for the givers as well. Father, we thank you that as you're moving on people's hearts and on people's lives today, that their lives would never be the same again. Help us, Lord, to steward these finances well, to be able to further your kingdom, to reach more people with the gospel, to be able to tell them the good news that Jesus loves them and has an incredible destiny and future for them. Lord, we bless the tithes and the offerings now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you guys so much. We're going to skip over a whole bunch of things today, and we apologize for those of you that were expecting to receive any certificates today. Because we've gone as long as we have, we want to kind of move along, and we will promise to get to you guys next week with your certificates. We are very proud of you, and we want to give you the honor and the time that should be given to that stuff instead of just glossing right over it. So we'll just put that off until next week. Well, I don't have very much time left to preach, but we do want to let the kids go off with their teachers. So the teachers are going to meet them on this side. You know what's so amazing is that these teachers are instilling into these young ones the greatness of God and just how awesome their future is for them, so that they'll be set on a path to do amazing things in history. So Lord God, we pray that you would bless the teachers, that you would bless the children, and that they would learn, that they would grow, and that they would know their God and do great things. Thank you, God, even for the helpers that are helping today. Let them be blessed as well. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've got a real treat for you today. You know, just so that you know, there are quite a number of people that are missing today for various family reasons and work reasons. But hey, that happens sometimes. As long as you're able to be here, we are so glad that you are here. I want to send quick greetings from Kevin Ipia. Just so that you know, he is actually being released from rehab tomorrow. I mean, that is a miracle. Yeah, go ahead and give Jesus a round of applause. If you don't know, the prognosis was that he was in a bad car accident. The prognosis was that he was going to need to be flat on his back for 8 weeks, no load bearing of any kind. Today, he is in hours of physical therapy. He's stepping up onto curbs, all kinds of things, walking upstairs using crutches. And one of the most amazing things, I'll let him share the testimony later, was that we saw the x-rays on the night of the accident, and both sides of his hips were fractured. The left side was a complete blowout, and the right side was fractured badly enough that they felt like they needed to go in and to check the stability of that hip so that they knew whether or not they needed to put a plate and screws in there. Well, when they went in to do the operation, guess what? No fracture. Isn't that awesome? Not only that, but he had fractured 13 ribs. If anyone in here has had a fractured rib, you know that that is not any fun at all. And one of the major concerns was that he would have problems with pneumonia just because he wouldn't be able to breathe deeply enough to be able to purge liquid out of his lungs. And but the amazing thing is we prayed the night of the accident. We prayed, Lord God, let him have no pain or very little pain so that he's able to breathe and function the way that he needs to, no pneumonia in Jesus' name. And you know, he really went from being on some pretty heavy painkillers right down to just being on Tylenol. And if you know anything about fractured ribs, you don't take Tylenol for fractured ribs. But God has done amazing things for him. He's healing so fast. He is giving the nurses the hardest time. If you know Uncle Kevin, you know he's harassing them at every opportunity. And he just wants to tell you that the poster boards, that the pictures, that the visitations, all the things that you guys have been doing have not only been blessing him but and lifting his spirits. He said he's looking forward to checking out of the hotel. He wasn't looking for a long stay, just a hotel. Staying there for just a little while, but he's looking towards getting out of there. But it's been a real testimony to all of the workers that have been around, all of the people around them. They ask, who are all these people around you? Who are all these people that keep coming to visit? And he said, oh, that's my family. And there'll be more of them coming. And they're just so amazed. But I think it's absolutely the way that the Bible says that it should be, right? Yeah. The Bible says that people will know us because of our love one for another. And so we're really doing the work of the Lord. We're really being the people that God wants us to be and being a great demonstration. Would you give yourselves, please, a very big round of applause for acting as the church should act? With that being said, Kevin is, again, being discharged tomorrow. We're so excited about that, and there may be some help that they need around the house or something. We'll keep you posted as we know, and so there may be some things that need to be installed in the house, some grab bars or whatever, maybe some yard work that needs to be done, and we'll keep you posted if that's something that you want to be a part of. It would absolutely be a blessing to the family. Without further ado, I'd like to actually introduce someone to share their testimony with you, because our testimony is powerful. Yeah. We've been talking about the great commission that Jesus has given to the church, that he said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded them, seven things that I commanded them to do on the earth. One of the things that happens if you realize the Great Commission is that every single one of us sitting here today is a result of Jesus' great commandment to the church. We are here as a result of someone inviting us, of something transpiring that we would even be in a place like this today. So the Great Commission has not stopped in over 2,000 years, and it will continue to go until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you that you're in for a real treat today. So would you please put your hands together and give a very warm welcome to Jason as he comes to share his testimony about the goodness of God in his life.
Thank you, Pastor Jake. Ooh, good morning. You know, when I look back to the times that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I just can see the love, the grace, the mercy that he had for me, you know, throughout my whole entire life. Amen. And I, you know, at that time, you know, back then, I didn't really realize that. You know, the Bible says that, you know, God knew me from before the foundations of the world, that he knew me before I was in my mother's womb. And speaking of my mother, you know, my parents, you know, when I was born, I was born and raised from my parents, They took us to church religiously. You know, my whole childhood life, we would drive from Waianae to Kamakapili Church, which was in Kalihi, and that was my childhood life. But I gotta write it down because so that I don't go off track like I'm going off track right now. So I've been going to church my whole childhood life, but when I became an adult, you know, I stopped going to church. You know, at the age of 21, 22, I had a son. You know, I got a girl pregnant, had a son, and then later on I got married. And then after 5 years, my son's mom and myself, we got divorced. And that's when things got tough. And you know, for myself, I knew how painful it was for me, but I only could imagine how painful it was for my son Liko. And you know, this morning was awesome in worship, and during that time, I just made it a top priority that for my son, I'm just going to tell him I love him as much as I could at any time of the day, at any moment, randomly, just verbally say, oh, you know what, son, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I did that, you know, constantly for the days that I had with him. I only had 3 days out of 7 days to spend time with him. So I was actually counting minutes and hours of the times that I would spend with him, because, you know, that's what I had. And I treasured those times that I spent with him. And that was from the age of 5 to about maybe 12, 10, 11, 12. And so that was the time that I spent with him. Now, the 3 days that I have, that's when I got into trouble. That's when I did things that I, you know, shouldn't have been doing. You know, I'm going to read a brief description of the things that I did in Galatians 5:19, what the Bible had said. He said, now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envious, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I tell you about these things in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that was the things that I was doing. I mean, maybe not all of it, but there are some things in there that I was doing. So I realizing that I desperately needed help. So I ended up going to a church at Word of Life. And at that time, that's when I gave myself to Jesus. And you know, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues, and, you know, things was great. But I actually didn't change my lifestyle. And so I was still living sort of the same lifestyle, but I was going to church now. And then one day I heard this guest speaker, and he said, if you want God's best, you got to do your best. And he was talking about goals and dreams and, you know, writing down visions and plans. So I was so fired up. I went home that night, and I was renting a two-bedroom apartment with a friend of mine. And I went home, and I was like, oh, I'm so fired up. I'm going to do my best. So I grabbed all my dirty magazines. I grabbed all my, you know, bad videos, and I threw it in this garbage bag. And then I had this illegal cable box that would steal cable from the television, and that was a value of $175, and I just bought that, and I just grabbed that piece of junk, I threw it in a rubbish can, and then I took it out, and I threw it in a dumpster, and I was like, yeah, I'm doing it. So I sat down, I wrote out my plan, I wrote out my goals. I said, you know what, I wanted a home so for Liko and I that we could live in. I want to cross the Molokai Channel. I want to go to another country. I've never been out of the United States before. So then after I wrote that, I wrote ideas on what to do. So I wrote, okay, you know what? I got to get a job. I got to get another job. I got to build up my finances. I got to look for a real estate agent to, you know, to help me find a place where I could live and what I could qualify for. And I had to get a passport. You know, you need a passport to go to another country. So I had to do all those things. So I wrote it down. I prayed over it. I put it on my refrigerator so I could see it every day. And then in 1 year, I achieved everything that I wrote down. And I, you know, that was the power of God, because I know I couldn't think of any of those things by myself. You know, and then so I was really stoked about all of that, but my lifestyle still didn't change. You know, I still was doing, you know, the things that was bad. And I knew, and then at that time, I was doing worse than what I was doing before I got saved. And I began to spiral down. I was spiritually moving further and further away from God, right? And then this one day, I was in another country with my brother, and you know, we were just living the riotous living, you know, being bad, you know. And we had news that one of my friends had died back at home. So I was kind of all bummed out, you know, because this guy, I just was partying with him a couple of days before we left, and I was hanging out with him, so it was such a shock to me that he had died. He got banged by another car. He was on a quad, and he was riding on the road, and someone banged him. So he passed away. And then I was in my room before I went to sleep. I was laying down on my bed, and I was, you know, just thinking, you know, just meditating to myself, and I was thinking, wow, hey, I wonder where he's going to go. I wonder if he's going to go to heaven or hell. You know, so I was thinking that. And I was like, well, you know, he's a good guy. You know, I like him. I think he's cool. You know, people like him. He's popular. But But he also was, he was a drug dealer, a strong arm guy. He beats up on people, you know, a rugged type of person. And I sat down on a bed and I was like, oh, I wonder where he's going, heaven or hell. And I felt this darkness come over me. And it felt super dark. And I heard this voice within myself said, you know, as I was thinking, oh, I wonder where he go, heaven or hell. And then I heard this, why, Jason, where do you think you're going? And that scared, you know, the bejesus out of me. I was so afraid. I jumped out of bed and I dropped down to my knees and I prayed. But at that time, the only prayer I knew was the Lord's Prayer, you know, and I was like, oh, man, oh, how does it go? And I even jacked up the Lord's Prayer, you know. I mixed the Lord's Prayer with the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, it went like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in which it stands, one nation, under God, individual, and, you know, liberty and justice for all. You know, I said whatever I could say because, you know, when you're in a third world country, you want to go home. You want to make everything safe. I pray like, oh, Lord, please get me home safely. Don't make this plane crash or, you know, terrorists or everything. I just prayed my, or whatever I could get, just pleaded with the Lord. Oh, get me home. I'd do anything. Get me home. So I made it home, but, you know, I didn't change. And but then I knew how that felt, that fear that came over of me, that wondering, oh, where am I going to go, you know? And you know, that kind of scared me day after day after day. Every night when I would wake up, like, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning with cold sweats, you know, I look at my son. I was like, oh, what's going to happen to me? Where am I going to go? What's going to happen with him? Who's going to raise him? And, you know, all those kind of types of concerns. So one day, you know, I was invited to the Ark, to this church. And so I came and, you know, hesitantly and, you know, just kind of been standoffish. But then met Warren Nakamura over here, and he led me through the Compass course. And then that really taught me a lot. That really taught me a lot because prior to that, I have not learned about the Bible. I learned stories of the Bible, but I didn't learn what the Bible talks about me, you know, and how much love that God has for me. I didn't know that. So I went through the Compass course with Warren and got born again, got baptized, got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then just stuck with it. And now that I know that where I am going. And from back then to now, where I see myself nowadays, now I have a beautiful wife, Kelly, with 3 new children. And then my son's here with me, with his wife, his beautiful wife. And they have one child, so that I have a grandchild. And then one more other way, so I'm a grandpa. And I, you know, starting from where I was and thinking to where I am now, I would not have imagined this. And then would not have imagined the goodness that God had and the mercy that he had on me throughout my whole life. You know, because that, like we said earlier, that God, he has a plan for you, a plan to prosper, a plan for hope, a plan for a future. And then, you know, I'm actually living it now, but this is not the, you know, the end. This is, you know, it's just now. But then there's no new battles, new challenges, and new everything. But then now I battle with the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the world, and the belt of truth. And then that's how we keep on moving forward, you know, into the high calling of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
Man, isn't that great? I mean, the Lord's Prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance, just when you're scared, you know, you just don't know what might come out of you. But I bet Jesus was just in heaven. He's like, yeah, that's it. That's it. You know, and when There were two people on the crosses that were next to Jesus, right, on the day that Jesus was crucified. And that's why you always see the hill with the three crosses, because there was Jesus and there are people on either side of him. And, you know, when you're being crucified, probably you don't pray the right prayer either. But Jesus said to the one thief on the cross, he said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." And I think that God knows our heart. He's not so concerned over the prayer that we pray. Yeah. He's more concerned about our heart. And we know whether or not, in our own heart, we know whether or not we've made a decision to live our life after Jesus. It's not the works that we do that buys our way into heaven. There's no way that we could ever be good enough to earn our way into heaven. There's no way that that's even possible. But Jesus is so good that he can wipe away all of our sins and he can make that way for us to be able to have free access into the kingdom of God. Now, I wanted you to hear that testimony today because your testimony is incredibly powerful. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about the power of your testimony and maybe even encouraging you to put together your testimony. If you've never written out what Jesus has done for you, I bet you you're not even as thankful as you possibly could be. Because when you look back at where God has taken you from and where he's taken you to, you start to get incredibly thankful about the journey that you've been on. And God is not done with you yet. Would you look at somebody next to you and tell them, God is not done with you yet. Look at somebody else, tell them, God is not done with you yet. I'm so glad that God's not done with me yet. My kids are glad that God's not done with me yet. My wife is glad that God's not done with me yet because he's still changing me, still refining me. And it's important that you realize that the rest of your life is going to be a process of Jesus refining you into exactly who he wants you to be. Now, we've got a little bit of a challenge, a logistical challenge going on. We took as much time as we wanted to follow after the Holy Spirit and what we felt like God wanted us to do today in ministering to some of the teenagers and ministering to people in the congregation. You know, church is not just about learning stuff. It's not just about us all the time. It's about other people, and it's about people's needs being met in the presence of God. If you didn't get your need met today, can I just say that you missed out on something? One of the greatest ways to get your needs met is by Jesus. And how do you do that? You plug into Jesus. You don't have to wait for Jesus to come and smack you. You just go and grab a hold of Jesus. The Bible says that throughout history, from the time of John the Baptist until Jesus, that the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent took the kingdom of God by force. In other words, people just pressed into God's presence and were like, man, there's something that other people are getting that I'm not getting. And they got hungry. You know what happens when you get hungry? You start looking for food. If you're hungry, like I get hungry, you get snackish. Anybody ever get snackish up in here? And how many of you know that if you've got snacks around the house, there is nothing that is safe, right? I mean, you don't even have to like it, but the snack is there, you're going to go after it, right? I mean, you try a little bit of this, oh no, that wasn't it. You try a little bit of that, no, that just wasn't it. Pretty soon, you're going out of the house in your pajamas to go and find the snack that you're looking for. Does anybody resonate with what I'm talking about here? Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about, because you're all well fed up in here. You know what I'm saying? Except for Mandy. She needs to get off the ramen. Stop eating ramen. Eat real food. Look, when you get hungry, you start searching. And when you start searching, you're going to find something. And when you start getting hungry for Jesus, you are going to find him in all of his glory. I want to tell you that one of the best things that you can do for your life is get hungry and get thirsty after Jesus. Don't get hungry after a religion. Don't get hungry after a place. Get hungry after Jesus. And when you get hungry after Jesus, you're going to search him out and search him out and search him out until you find him. You know what I'm talking about? I went on a little bit of a rabbit trail. We have a logistical problem. The logistical problem is this, that we're out of time. But the good news is that the Holy Spirit was here today ministering to people that had needs. Come on. So it's only a problem for your system That's the only problem that there is. So here's the challenge that we're presented with is that we've got sermon-based connect groups that go on throughout the week. You know what? I didn't preach a sermon. But Jesus did. And so what we're going to do is we're going to ask you with the sermon notes that you've got out today, we'll just revisit them if the Lord is willing next week. However, what we are going to do for you is that we're going to reformulate discussion questions very quickly today, by the end of today. And we will release them by the end of today, sometime this evening. Does anybody have a connect group that deals with our sermon-based notes today, for today, or you do last week's notes, right? Yeah, okay, good, then we're good. We have until the end of today. So I will put together those discussion questions, and we're going to talk about what the Holy Spirit did in our midst today. We're going to talk a little bit about the encounter with the Holy Spirit and what God's plans and purposes are for your life. We're going to give you an opportunity to talk about where the rubber really meets the road, which is real life. Sermons are sermons, and you can hear a lot of great sermons. If you feel like you've been gypped today by not hearing a good sermon, because I promise you, it's going to be good. My dog was sitting at my feet yesterday watching me prep my sermon, so it's going to be a good one. But if you feel like you've been gypped out of a sermon, can I just tell you one word? YouTube. YouTube has an amazing collection of sermons that are out there by people that preach way better than me. So if you really need to hear a good sermon, go to YouTube. Go hear a phenomenal preacher, someone that preaches the Bible, please. All right? Go find a good sermon and get your sermon fix on if you need to. If you don't want to listen to someone else, oh, you're so sweet. You can just go right to our website. You can listen to one of the sermons that you missed previously. By the way, you probably missed something from a previous sermon because they say you need to hear something 16 times before you get it all. So if you only heard a sermon one time, you only got 1/16th of what you're supposed to get out of it. And so you could listen again. You can go to our website. You can go to our app. If you would prefer to watch something rather than listen to something and you don't want to go to YouTube, you can go to our main Facebook page and you can watch one of the previous sermons from a previous week and get your fix there. Other than that, what I would really encourage you to do is be the church. Go live the Christian life. See, because if you just hear something and don't do anything about it, there's no sense in even hearing it at all, right? The Bible says that it's important that we not only be hearers of the word, but that we be doers of the word. But before I get accused of not preaching the Bible, can I give you one scripture to live out this week? Would you open your Bibles with me? Because it's not going to be on the screens. Would you open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I know that you're very familiar with verse 17, probably, but I'm going to go one verse before that and then into verse 17. It's super important that you understand verse 16 because it comes right before verse 17. Verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading this in a version of the Bible called the Bible in Basic English, because some of us need basic English. Basic English. It says this, "For this reason, from this time forward, we have knowledge of no man after the flesh. Even if we have had knowledge of Christ after the flesh, we have no longer such knowledge." Now listen, what does that mean? Because I'm going to make it even more basic than the basic English. It means this. It means when somebody received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, when someone has an encounter with God, you cannot look at their past to define who they are now. See, because Jason is not the man that he used to be. Can you say an amen to that, Kelly? He's not the same man that he was before. In fact, if you saw the slideshow last week, you would know that he's 20 pounds less of a man than he was in those slides. See, when you get the presence of God and an encounter with God, it changes you. If it doesn't change you, you did not have an encounter. One of our good friends says it this way: having an encounter with God is like old Looney Tunes, you know, with the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. When Wile E. Coyote gets run over by the semi truck that the Roadrunner is driving, right? And he runs him over, and then the Wile E. Coyote is flat like a pancake on the ground. But because they're not really that violent, he doesn't die. He just gets changed, right? So he picks himself up off the ground, and he's like paper thin, right? And he's all wobbling around. Look, it's just like that. God is the semi-truck, and you're the Wile E. Coyote. And when you have an encounter with God, you'll look a bit different. You'll walk kind of different. You'll act kind of different. You'll talk kind of different because you've had an encounter with God. Look, husbands, wives, you can't look at your spouse after they've had an encounter with God and base your future upon their past. Kids, you can't look at your parent like after they've had an encounter with God. You can't look at them like they're the same parent that you had before. You got upgraded. You got a brand new parent. Parents, you can't look at your kid like the spoiled, rotten little punk that they were. We don't have any of those in here, right? Sorry, that was the old youth pastor coming out of me. You can't look at your kids like they were before they had an encounter with God. Because when they have an encounter with God, they get changed. You can't know them after the flesh. Not only that, but look, you can't look at them with what they've done to date. You can't look at what their potential is on paper. See, when the doctors looked at me when I was a little baby, they said, oh, he's in the top percentile of his weight and height for his age. He's going to be 6'2", 220 pounds when he's full grown. This doctor did not look at my mom. 5'3", 90 pounds, you know, whatever she is. I mean, 5'3" on a good day with heels on. He got the genes all mixed up. He looked at his chart and his graft, and he was like, oh, he's going to be... Didn't happen. You can't know somebody after the flesh. You have to know them according to the destiny that God has on their life. Moses was an orphan sent down the river in a basket with tar on it, and yet he delivered a nation. You cannot judge someone after the flesh. You have to know them after God's calling on their life. I'm getting to verse 17. This is a pretty good sermon, though. You should probably listen to this one again. Verse 17. So if any man is in Christ, listen, he is in a new world. The old things have come to an end. They have truly become new. He is in a whole new world. I'm not going to sing Aladdin to you right now. But he's in a whole new world. Everything has become new all over again. So you can't look at the old things and judge the future based upon the past. I'm telling you, that is one of the biggest mistakes that you can possibly make in your life as a Christian with Christians around you, is to look at them like they are the person they've always been and that they will continue to be that for the rest of their life. No, when you have an encounter with God, you step into a whole new world. All the limits are taken off. All of the past history is removed, and everything is become new, and everything is as God wills it to be, because you're going to let him have his way. Amen? Amen? It's a pretty good sermon. I think that this week, one of the greatest challenges that I could give to you is to take that word and to look at the people around you, your husband, your wife, your parents, your children, the people around you in your workplace, those that have had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and give them the opportunity to be in a brand new world. That means that you've got to treat them brand new, don't you? That means you can't be an old fixture in a brand new world. You've got to change so that they can change. I think one of the greatest gifts that we can give to the people around us is the latitude to change. I think one of the greatest gifts that we can give somebody around us is the benefit of the doubt, that they're changing, that they're in the process of changing, and it does not yet appear to my eyes what they will be, but I can believe that God's working on them. Look at somebody real quick and tell them, God's not done with you yet. That's a good thing, you know. God's not done with you yet. Would you bow your heads and your hearts with us as we just close today? Father, we thank you for the move of the Spirit of God. And we know that it upsets the traditional systematic apple cart, but we would rather have it be upset with your presence than to have everything decent and in order and have no presence of Jesus. Father, thank you for visiting us today in that way. Thank you, God, for breaking off bondages and chains. Thank you for freedom in the house. You said wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, or wherever the Spirit is Lord, that there's liberty. So God, we're going to trust that word and say that as you are Lord in this house, that there's going to be freedom, there's going to be liberty. Freedom from the system, freedom from the schedule if we need to have it that way. And God, that you would do real, tangible, authentic, lasting change in every one of our lives. Lord, if there's anyone that's in this room today, even those that are listening across the world, over the internet or whatever, that have not had a personal encounter with God, Father, I pray right now that you would come and that you would encounter them, that you would change the way that they walk, that you would change the way that they talk, that you would change the way that they even appear, and that their life would be set on a course that you've chosen, picked out, and decided for them, that they would leave a mark in history that will never be able to be denied. Lord, I thank you that you change us into the very image that you've designed for us. We love you, and I speak a blessing over your people today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Would you welcome Pastor Jolie to close us today?